things. Father, we love you. And we just thank you for each person in this room. We just thank you for the team that went to Belarus, Father, to look after widows and orphans. And Father, it just thrills our heart to be part of something that's so much bigger than us. And I say, Father, increase. Increase teams. Increase passion, Lord, for going. Father, to the city, to the communities, to the nation, to the nations. We just thank you, Father, from Drimna to Belarus, Father, and beyond, for your glory, Father. Amen. Amen. You know, it's something that the Lord has put on my heart over the last while. If you want to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read a passage of scripture that is well familiar. And while we're going there, there's a passage in Nehemiah 3. And when Nehemiah is building the wall, you know the story about Nehemiah. He's living in another place, serving the king. He's the cupbearer to a king, which is a really privileged position because he got to say whether there was poison or not in the food. So he was a confidant to the king. The king trusted him probably more than even his wives at times. Most likely more than anyone else in the whole of the kingdom, because if that fella didn't say what's what, he could be assassinated. And so Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. And Nehemiah was a Jew who had been taken from Jerusalem during the captivity, and the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down and the gates had been broken down, meaning that, like, when the raiders came in, all the young men, all the young women, all the educated were taken out. All the strong people were taken out of the city and of the nation and taken away into captivity, meaning that the people that were left were frail, were old, were weak in age, and there was a lot going on, meaning that the walls and there was no one to man the walls, there was no one to man the gates, and anybody, any man Jack could come in and do what they want because there was no resistance. There was nothing to say, hang on, you're not doing this in our city, because the walls represented protection and the gates represented security, and the elders always sat at the gate, and the elders of the city determined what comes in and what is not allowed into the city. So Nehemiah, he asked his people that had come from Jerusalem, what's going on in Jerusalem? And they say the walls are broken down and the city gates are broken down. And the Bible says in Nehemiah, read it yourself, Nehemiah, he broke down and he wept because he had such a passion for the city. He had such a passion for the people that he didn't want to see them in their plight. He didn't want to see them being succumbed to all types of tyranny and all types of things being put on them or taken from them. And he breaks down and he goes before the God of heaven and he prays out a prayer and he says, Lord, send me back. I want to go back. I want to do something. What will I do? You're God of heaven and earth. What will I do? And he goes before the king, the natural king, and he says, I want to go back to do something. Jerusalem, the city, was looking for a hero. And Nehemiah stepped up to the plate. And when Nehemiah went back, one of the things that he'd done, he built a wall, but one important thing that he done was he built a house that was already there, but he rebuilt it, and the house was called the House of Heroes. Nehemiah chapter 3. The House of Heroes. The House of Heroes belonged to David and David's mighty men. It was the houses that David built for his heroes in the city, the people of God that in David's army that was doing great things for God. And Nehemiah, the hero, comes back to the city that had no heroes now. Remember, there was people weakened. There was people, all the strong people were taken out. All the strong people were taken off. So he came back, and one of the first things he'd done is, we're building another House of Heroes. We're building another House of Heroes. And I want to say to us this morning that, like, there's heroes in this place. And there's more heroes to be called up out of the places that we are and we find ourselves today. Why? Because there's a city and a nation, and the nations need heroes. If we're ever in a place of starvation for men and women to be heroes, it's in the time of our country right now. The people are crying out. Look at all the news programs. Look at all the political programs. Look at all the programs that have debates on. And what they're really saying underneath all of that, will someone give us a hero? Maybe that will, Bonnie Tyler's song will become the anthem of a new era in Ireland. I need a hero. Or as Stephen sang to Gail on the wedding night, in their wedding dance. Sorry, not the wedding night. I don't know how I remember their wedding song, but it was, I can be your hero, baby. Was that it? No. Oh, sorry, that one was a lonesome tonight, Stephen. But if there's ever a time that communities and people groups, children, young people, like there was a call from Lisa. As quiet as she is, she was calling out from something deep within her. Will someone come and be a couple of heroes in Drimney? Unless you understand what goes on in Drimney, you'll probably think, oh, that's just another little community. It's a community, young men crying out, will someone stand up and be a hero? And I want to declare over Liberty that we're not just a church. We're people like Nehemiah that is building the house so that the heroes, they may come in weak and they may come in not believing they're heroes, but you guys, me, come into the house like this and we're saying, we're building a house for heroes to be raised up. Because wherever Nehemiah was a hero, and heroes beget heroes. Heroes bear heroes. And heroes come in all shapes and sizes, the moms and dads, the community people, their firemen and policemen and all types of people. They come in all shapes and sizes. And they're found in different places. They're found in Teen Challenges places, like Philip said he was fishing. Heroes are found in communities. In the Bible, heroes were found in caves. Heroes were found in obscure places like Bethlehem. Heroes were found in baggages like Saul. Heroes was found minding sheep up on a mountain like David. Heroes are not just these, like what the world gives us. Like here's superhero. When you realize that heroes are found in all shapes and sizes, and the hero is you, and that hero is your brother sitting beside you, or your sister sitting beside you, you can be a hero this week to somebody. You can do something that you. There's a hero. Tony McCarthy is here. He's a hero. He'd kill me for saying that. But that's what heroes do. They kill you for saying that. Someone that gives their life into a community. See the scourge of drug and the effects of drugs being tackled, being addressed. Someone that goes and gives their lives down in Sunday school to raise the next generation up. Heroes are everywhere. And you're here this morning. Well, why have heroes? What does heroes look like? Shapes and sizes of all kinds. What are the characteristics of heroes? Heroes go and build houses for other heroes. Here, David's house that he built, his heroes used to sleep in them. Can you imagine the stories that they told? Can you imagine the guy in 2 Samuel that stood in a field that was given to him as his inheritance? And he says, when 300 Philistines came against him, he stood in the field. And he says, you're not taking my ground. Do you imagine the guy that ran after the lion? Or he was running and he fell into a pit. And there was a lion in the pit. And he took the lion out of it. Imagine them stories like you think your one's bad when you see this. The lion jumped out at me. Can you imagine David retelling the story over and over again when God brought him out to face a giant? There's a giant for us to knock down in this city. God has ordained his people in churches to do something, to knock down things and to advance the kingdom of God. Jesus told us what the characteristics of a hero is. Just read his life. Read how much of a hero Jesus is. That's who your model is. That's who my example is. It's men are good, but Jesus is perfect in every way. And I want us to read Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll get through a couple of the characteristics of these heroes of faith. This chapter 11 is called the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Heroes of Faith in different Bibles. And I found about, I couldn't stop, would you believe it? I was finding things, I'm like, oh, there's another characteristic. Oh, there's another. Before you knew, I had 16. That's the way it goes. And I'm going to try to get through a few today. And if you want to hear some of the others, you come out to Bray tonight at 6. Get the dart out, have a walk along the seafront. And so enjoy some food, get a nice ice cream in the Italian place there, and at 6 o'clock come to church and you'll hear another 4 or 5 traits of a hero. You can't get any better than that, can you? So let's read through this. We'll read through it together. A bit long, but we'll read through it. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So here we go. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a testimony that he was righteous, God's testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained a witness that before his being he was taken up to heaven, before he was taken up to heaven, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about the things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which had foundations, whose architect and builder was God. By faith even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even to one man, and him as good as dead, and that as many descendants as the stars in the heavens in numbers, and as numerous as the sea, the sand on the seashore. I'll explain also some of this in a minute. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on this earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they have been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have taken the opportunity to return. And I think that will get us through a couple of points, and I'll explain. Heroes, Abel offered up a better sacrifice than his brother. And God accepted his sacrifice. Why? Because it was his best. Can I tell you one of the characteristics of a hero? A hero gives their best. A hero doesn't give God 10%. A hero gives God 100%. Do you know why? Because it's going to take 100% to receive the promises of God 100%. If you give 10%, you receive 10% of something that is much bigger and broader and deeper and longer and wider and more influential than your 10%. Abel's gift was accepted. Why? Because it was his best. He didn't give God a tip of 10%. He didn't give God a tip of his prayer life. He didn't give God a tip of, well, Lord, I'm tired, I'll give you whatever I have left at the end of the day. The Bible says that it was acceptable because he gave his best. Heroes always give their best. Heroes always give their all. And the funny thing is, Jesus says, if you give your all, you'll find your all. That's a translation of my own. But he says it this way, if you want to find your life, lose your life. If you want to gain the best, give your best. If you want to see the best, give your best. That's why these men in the house of heroes that David built for his men, why were they able to tell their stories? Because they gave everything. They gave their best for the furtherance of God's promises in the land. Give your best to God. Make a decision today. Everything starts with a decision. Everything starts with a decision. You go, no, I've tried that 100 times. Start again. Make a decision. Make a decision. Make a decision to forgive so that I won't rob you of your best. No, I'm going to be a forgiver. Well, no, I tried to forgive and I still hate that ugly looking beast. Jesus says, forgive again. How many times? 70 times 7. What was he saying? Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it till it stops. Keep on doing it till it's out of you. Keep on doing it till you're living in the best of what it is to be a person who walks in forgiveness. Be a person that is like Teflon. You know the Teflon non-stick pans? When you keep on giving your best, when you keep on being a forgiver, then when someone hurts you, it doesn't stick like it used to. doesn't use the, like a non-stick frying pan. Just doesn't stay there. But somehow, because you've learned how to coach yourself with the act of forgiveness, the process of forgiveness, that when something comes along and is thrown at you, you know what it is, you acknowledge what it is, but it doesn't stick. It doesn't stay there. It doesn't become festered so that you robs you of your best. It says of Enoch, it says by faith that this hero, he was taken up. Imagine one day walking and God says, come on, boom, you're home. They were looking for him everywhere. They couldn't find him. Can you imagine the bulletins around the area? Enoch gone missing. You see this man. It says they searched and searched and searched. But he was not found. And then it was said by witnesses that he was taken up. This hero, it says, he done everything to please God. Everything he done was to please God. He had one person that he determined he was going to please above all people. And it's amazing when you seek take your life to please him. That somehow the blessing of that and the fruit of that is not that you go around pleasing everybody, but people are pleased with you. They're pleased with your manner. They're pleased with the way you treat people. Why? Because it's not like trying to gain kudos or points with people. You're just saying, Lord, everything I give, every hour, every minute, every penny I give, not to gain your love, but just because I love you. I want to just do it because I love you. I'm not doing this to so that I get right in there with you. I'm doing this because I am right in there with you. You can't get any more in God than being in Christ Jesus. You can't get any more. There's not another place to go outside of Christ Jesus. The Bible says that if you're a Christian, you're in Christ. You're in God. And Noah, the Lord told him that there was something coming down the pike. That there was a flood coming. That there was going to be a wipeout. And we don't like to hear this stuff about God. But that's what was said. And Noah, he said, build an ark. They'd never seen rain before the ark, the flood. The Bible says that all the waters were held in the canopies in the heavens. They'd never seen one drop of rain. And God spoke, and because he heeded what God said, he was able to see the unseen. That's what it says. The heroes heed God. And when you heed God, you see the unseen. You see what's coming down the road. You see what God is doing at a later date. Because you hear him, and not only hear him, you remember your ma used to say, you taking heed to me? Because what she was really saying, are you listening or are you hearing me? She wants you to know that it was landing somewhere. Are you heeding me? Because if you don't heed me now, there's a consequence to whether you heed me or not. But the Bible says when God spoke to this hero, Noah, that he heeded him. And he built an ark. Imagine all those years, hundreds of years, building an ark and people laughing at you. Imagine his testimony, but I've seen something that you haven't seen. And actually, this big boat that you're laughing at is going to be the salvation of your family if you heed my warning. Can you imagine him preaching off this wood? That there's something coming down the pike and God is going to call it a day of judgment. And whoever heeds the warning and gets into the boat, that you will be saved. But that's the message of the cross. It's the same message that Jesus, that whoever believes in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That shall be saved, not only into eternity, but will have zozo, the very life and healing and security of God going through their lives on this earth. That's what it means. Can you imagine the day when the door was closed and the flood came? The Bible actually says God closed the door of the ark. We laughed at you. We said you were a maniac. And it's the same with the cross. The cross is the ark. Whoever believes, come on in. But there is a day, the Bible says, that the door gets closed. He heeded the warning, but he seen the unseen. It's not all doom and gloom. That when you heed, not just the warning, when you hear the voice of God, and he says, start another cafe in Clondalkin. And you heed it, and you see the unseen, because when you heed it, you see things happening before they even happen. You don't necessarily see them with your eyes, but you feel them with your eyes. You see them underneath your eyelids. You see people coming to know Jesus, people being transformed. To be a hero, you have to heed. To be a hero, you have to. To be a hero, you will see the unseen things. It says Abraham received from God a call. The hero received a call from God in the kingdom stuff. It's not just, I'm going to do my own thing. There's too many doing their own thing. It's like, God, have you put a call in my life? Where am I supposed to serve? Where am I supposed to serve? Make that your prayer. Where am I supposed to serve? Where am I supposed to serve? Who am I supposed to serve, God? Who? What people? What aspect of community should I be serving? What aspect of the city should I be giving myself into? Where should I be serving? Don't wait till you have it all together to serve. Just serve. Just serve. Just put out chairs. Just welcome people in the door. Just join an old folks club and make a tea. Do something. Just serve. Just give of your life into something that he received from God. And see, when you go, I don't know what God's called me to, I want to tell you, here's the key, serve. If you haven't heard him, serve. If you haven't heard God's voice, listen to godly advice. Serve. Because it's in the serving that God will speak. Heroes know that they're on a journey with God. It says Abraham left his place and he went to a place where he didn't know where he was going. He left his place, all the security of everything around him. He heard God and he says, God, I'm going. And he knew he was on a journey. He knew that God was going to take him through valleys, up hills, into cities, into situations. And all of the time he was building a history with God in his journey. He was building a history that he could say in the end that God, you who gave me the promise is faithful. Every hero has to know that God is faithful. Because if you don't know God is faithful, you won't take the next step. You won't go to the next part of the journey because you're like, you're afraid. But God brings you on one leg of the journey so that you can have faith in him to go to the next level of the journey in God. Abraham considered him faithful. He said, Sarah, you're old. Your womb is dry, that there's nothing happening there because of your age. And the two of them made a decision, because God is faithful, we will believe his promise. Even in the impossible, the heroes say, I believe God. I don't care what I see around me. God spoke. God said this. God called me here. And if God called me here, he's going to back her up with the resource of heaven. Every promise of God has a resource attached to it from heaven. There's warehouses of resources attached to every word that God has given to people. Everything. Consider him faithful. How many is that? Don't give you too much. Listen to this. All these people were still living by faith. This is Hebrews when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. All of these heroes was looking to the promise of the Messiah. But they only seen it from afar. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to call them to a city that he has prepared for them. It says that if they'd have been just looking from where they left and thinking that was a better place, they would have wanted to return. But they had a picture in their mind of what the future was. And therefore, they closed every back door to return to the old life. Heroes have no back doors. Heroes throw a lot in with God. Heroes don't go, if it doesn't work out with the God thing, I have another door. Close it. Close it, because you won't receive what's ahead of you. You have to close it. You can't walk with God in that way. You can't have a sly door. You can't have a sneaky trap door. Just in case God doesn't come true. I'm trusting God for my healing. I'm trusting God for my breakthrough. I'm trusting God for my future, for my children. But just in case, I'll just keep that door open. You have to close it. You have to close it. You have to throw your Lord in. You have to go, Lord, if you're not in, I'm sunk. If you're not in this, it's going to sink. Lord, I haven't got A, B, C, or D. I have nothing. You're all I have because I've chosen to make you all I have. And the Bible says that if you seek him first, then all the other things that we're looking for will be added onto us. All the things that we need will be added onto us. And it says of Abraham that every hero has to close the back door. Every hero. And it says that God tested Abraham in Hebrews. He says to Abraham, the promised son that they believed God for. He says to Abraham, bring him on an altar. I want you to sacrifice your son. What a test. But you know where Abraham's faith was? He says, even if I slay him, God will raise him from the dead. Why? Because he considered him who was faithful, that gave him the son, to fulfill a promise, would fulfill a promise. Every hero was tested. Don't run out of the race because you're being tested. Don't look for the nail. Don't get the claw hammer out to take the nails out of the back door that you just closed because you're now being tested. Every man and woman of God is tested. Every man and woman. It's what makes us. It's what builds character into us. It's what allows us to see the truths of God that we can't see in other places. There's other mountaintops experience that we see in manifestation of God and the presence and goodness of God on the mountaintops, but there's only other truths that can be placed in us in testing times. That in the testing time, here was I with you today. You said you can't feel the presence of God anymore. When you can't feel the presence of God, yeah, it's a test. You go to the Word of God and you start having faith in what God says in His Word. No, I know I can't feel Him, but He's with me because He said He'll never leave me and not forsake me. So if he lives in me, he can't go anywhere. He's just hidden his presence for a little while to see, am I going to walk with him? I'm going to be known, because then you'll know it's not just by what you feel. It's not just by what you've experienced. It's even beyond that. It's deeper than that. It's greater than that. That you go, no, Lord, I just trust what you say. You will be tested, and you probably are going through tests. But keep going. Keep moving forward. Keep stepping up. Keep saying, no, I'm going to be faithful. You know what wins out in the end? Faithfulness. That's what wins out in the end. You know, if someone's coming against you, outpray them and outstay them. Faithfulness wins out in the end. You know when there's a resistance, keep on being persistent, because persistence overcomes resistance every single time. You just keep on. When it's dry, you keep on. When it's raining, you keep on. When your voice is in your ear telling you to move out aside of what God has for you, you keep on. When people are saying, look, it's easier over here, you keep on. The testing makes us who we are. And all of this is not just about us being great Christians when we go through this stuff. It's for other people. Because heroes beget heroes. And if you want to hear some more, come to Bray. And if you don't come to Bray, I'll feel awfully rejected. And I'll go home to Pier and eat ice cream by myself. But in chapter 12 of Hebrews, the writer tells us to look back at chapter 11. And he tells us to consider their fate. And he calls them the cloud of witnesses. In fact, he tells us in Hebrews that those witnesses somehow in heaven cheer us on. Those heroes cheer us on. And heroes that have gone before us. There's everyday heroes here. They were everyday people. And it says, shake off the things that hinder you from running the race as a hero. That's what Hebrews 12 tells us. Shake them off you. Those things that grip onto us and cling onto us and trip us up, and the sin that binds us and all of the things that hinder us from running the race as a hero, we're encouraged to shake them off. And under the authority of who I am in God, I tell you this morning, there's power to shake it off you today. To shake off them feelings and those voices and those failures and shame. You know, there was an old fable, and the donkey fell down the well. Anyone heard the donkey in the well? Fell down the well. The donkey was old. He wasn't, the farmer like heard him in the well because he was making sure the farmer heard him. Can you imagine the donkey screaming out of a donkey down a well? And the farmer says, look, I have to go through all the trouble of getting him up out of that well. I'm going to have to excavate more around it and just to get this old donkey. But he's on his last legs. What I'll do is I'll just fill in the well and kill him. Cruel, I know. So anyway, he gets a couple of his people, and he throws a couple of shovels into the well. Eventually, to fill the well up, and the donkey is obviously smothered. A few shovels in, it's hitting the donkey on his head and on his back and all that. And somehow the donkey realizes there's something going on here. You know yourself. So the donkey shakes off the dust and stamps it into the ground. And every time you threw shovels in, he'd shake it off and stand on it and stamp it into the ground. And before, when they filled the whole well, that he was still shaking it off and standing on it. And when the sand got up to the top, the donkey steps out. He steps out. He's like, that's not my time to die. That's not. And the Hebrews tells us, because all types of things get thrown on us to keep you down, to keep us locked into a confined space like a well. And even worse than that, there's other things that people have thrown stuff on people that, like, we don't want you to fulfill your potential. We don't want you to be a hero in this city, in your community, in your family, to your children, to your mother, to your son. There's all types of things on us, but we have to shake them off. And when they get on us, and stand on them. And so that we were elevated with the things that are supposed to suppress us, that we rise rather than sink in at all. And every single person has something that, like, it's on you. I see it on it. I see it on some of us. We just need to shake it. Say, no, I'm not accepting that. You know, the farmer was his owner. The farmer was someone that looked after him all the years. The farmer was, and yeah, what are you doing to me? But even though it's you, I'm still not accepting it. I don't care who it comes from, what voice, if it's dust that's keeping me down, I'm shaking it off. I'm going to stand on it, and I'm going to rise to the top in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. I thank you for heroes in this place. I'm looking around, Lord, at the youth workers, the heroes to youth. Heroes to old folks, to the homeless, to the neighborhood, to the children in Drimnagh, to the youth in Drimnagh, to the youth in Dolphin's Barn. Heroes to sons and daughters, heroes to orphans and widows. And so much more, Lord. And there's more to be called out, Lord. And there's more to shake off stuff and move on up. So, Father, the first thing that we can say, according to this list of characteristics of the heroes, we say, like Abel, we want to give you our best. And we just put it all on the altar today. And say, Lord, that's where I want to start. I want to make a decision. I want to give you my best. You tell me what to do and where to go. You somehow show me, Lord. And Lord, in the meantime, I'm going to serve. I'm going to give my best. I'm not going to look at anything as even my job in my workspace. I'm going to do it unto you, Lord. I'm going to give him my best. I'm not going to hang back. I'm going to give him my best, Lord God. And so, Father, we just, on behalf of Liberty, Lord, and those, and you can say amen to God, but we give you our best today, Lord. We say we want to be a people that are giving their all to you, Lord. And as a result, would you make us a blessing to other people in all shapes and sizes? And would you allow us as heroes to beget heroes, that we would beget other heroes? That, Lord God, that we would see people rise up amongst us that would absolutely scare us, Lord, that there's so much of you on them. And maybe this morning, in all shapes and sizes it comes, and if God spoke to you through some of those points, that you respond to God in your heart, that's the main thing. Well, maybe there's been shovels of dust and dirt trying to be put on you. And that you're just making a decision today. You know, your past can be a load of shovels thrown on top of you. The pain in your heart right now can be stuff thrown on top of you that keeps you from fulfilling. But that you make a decision today, I won't be suppressed. That I'm going to shake it off. and I'm going to stand on it, and I'm going to use it to elevate me. I'm going to use it to bring me into a higher place, into a different place. That the view that I've seen at the bottom of the well, I'm going to use it to bring me up to see a different viewpoint. That I will see the light of day again. I will feel the sun on my face. I will feel the breeze against my face. I will see my children's children. I will see a generation raised up for God. I'm not staying in this confined place. I'm gonna use it. I'm gonna use the pain. I'm gonna use the test to be found faithful, to be found trustworthy with the things of God, to be someone who God can say, look, you've been faithful for little, here's a lot. And maybe that's you just stand and go, yeah, I just want to just make this stand as I'm shaking it off. We have 10 minutes left, and if Deborah and the worship team can come, we'll finish with a worship song. So, as an act, you know, you don't have to do the hippie shake. But in somehow you just shrug your shoulders, do something. There was a snake attached itself to Paul on the Isle of Malta. And the Bible says he shook her off. He just like, no, I'm not accepting that. And so somehow during this worship that you connect with the Lord in that manner of, here I am, and this is where I'm at. And Lord, see that people that are being tested. Can I tell you, don't get out of the race. It might look like another mountain in front of you, but your promised land could be just over that mountain. That your deliverance, your next thing in God could be just on the other side of just one more day of obedience. Just don't give up. Just yes, Lord, I receive your strength. The Bible says that His grace is enough. His grace is sufficient. It's sufficient for going through tests. It's sufficient to keep us. It's sufficient to enable us to navigate our way through things. And Lord, I just release the grace of God upon your people. Lord, to shake off, to rise up, Lord. Father, to go through, Father God, to present themselves, Father, to you, Father, in these days. Lord God, and I thank you for the stories of heroes that will come from this house, that is coming from this house, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, that there's generations to hear of the stories, Lord God, of the heroes of this house, Father God. And Father, I thank you that there's more to come, Lord. I thank you that there's little heroes downstairs in Sunday school, in ARC, and there's bigger heroes in upstairs in the youth, Lord, with stomping trump, Father God. I thank you that you're going to build a bigger house, Father, to contain more heroes, oh God. That you're going to release house after house, Father, so that heroes can be raised up within a house, Lord, that's believing you for the bigger things, the greater things, Father. Your kingdom come, Lord God. In Dublin, Lord, in Ireland, as it is in heaven, Father. So, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for Bray this evening. Father, we ask, Father, for the heroes to come out, Father, from Bray and to Bray. We ask that you'd raise up more heroes in our communities, Father, for your glory. Amen. When this song is finished, please enjoy your day. Please enjoy your cup of tea downstairs and have good connections with other heroes. Amen.